This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning on a Friday. Welcome in. John, that cough subsided, and I am here.
I'm very proud of you for powering through the March Madness flu and showing up this morning. It's very big of you.
And like a lot of our listeners today, a bit sleep deprived.
A little weary-eyed.
After Michigan played a late night game. So if the brain isn't quite functioning properly today, or any more than usual, that would explain why.
Oh, now is fine. 8:30, the wall hits.
Yeah, you're right about that.
We'll be running downhill at that point. It's Friday.
Yeah, you're right. But right now, it's adrenaline. Michigan played last night. We're going to spend a bunch of time on that today. We got the cookie jar later in the show. Tigers may be a breakout team, according to one major news outlet. We'll get to that. Day one of the tournament. We'll get to all of it. John, let's start with Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, hey, was it not the most typical Michigan game all season long? It is exactly what they've been doing for the entirety of their season. Build a lead. It's 14 at half. And then in the second half, you just keep doing what you've been doing. Turn the ball over, miss some threes, miss easy shots, miss free throws. And you get to the end of the game, you're like, I mean, they shot 55% from the line. This is just you've mentioned it, and I know you were all over the trendy UC San Diego Tritons. They're going to win. They didn't, but they almost did. And it was 55% from the line. It was 14 turnovers. It was 42% from the floor. They do enough to win against teams that they should beat. And then they play against teams like Michigan State. We go back to the regular season, and all of those flaws, when you play against a quality team that plays defense, that rebounds, all of a sudden those flaws are what actually kills you. And so, hey, celebrate. They won. It's Dusty. Let me ask you this, because it was about this time last week where you asked me, Dusty May year one.
Already a success, yes or no?
Was it a success or not? Now that they have won a March Madness game, an NCAA tournament game. Success or not in year one for a team that had only won 8 games last year. They flipped the script. There was nobody left on the roster.
I understand. He didn't take over and coach the 8-win team. He has a whole new group of guys.
Which he had to construct.
Correct.
And pull out of thin air. Okay.
He does.
So
he does.
Answer the question. Success or not?
I said Sweet 16 then. I don't want to flip-flop on
wow.
it. They're a weird team in this way. If you win all these close games, you should give credit to the coach, right? Like, they have now won 13 games by 4 points or fewer. 11 straight. Where they've been in these nail biters and they win. That says something about your team, your preparation, your coach, keeping the guys in it so you don't have the catastrophic mistake. At the same time, a team that can't shoot free throws and is lackadaisical to basketball would be a poorly coached team. They're kind of this oddity in that they have found ways to survive in advance, and I'll give them their credit on that. This is absolutely what it comes down to, is finding ways to win these games this time of year.
And here's the weirdness of the transfer portal. Is the turnover issue, is that more an issue? Okay, you're not getting great guard play. You're getting good enough guard play, not great guard play. But your turnovers are also coming from Wolf, who is not a center, not a forward, not a guard. He kind of does a little bit of all of it. He's just different. He's a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
Are the turnovers somewhat, because you mentioned it, like, hey, there was nobody on the roster. There's a few guys.
Yeah.
There was a Howard. There was a Cheddar. And is it more a characteristic of a team that has just been put together?
Maybe, but they're 30-plus games into the season at this point. Like, this is just kind of who they are, right?
Oh, yeah, yes, it is who they are this year. If this is the characteristics of Dusty Mays coach teams in years moving forward, because you're always going to have transfers. And the way I say this, it's weird because there are other teams that have gone heavy into the transfer portal, and they don't turn the ball over as much as Michigan does. Trying to find the answer why they keep turning the ball over, because it's maddening. It's frustrating. It is infuriating.
We'll talk more about Michigan at 6:35. How long does this last? This living on the edge and finding ways to win, survive in advance mentality, but playing with fire at the same time. 6:35, we'll get into it.
How'd your bracket do? Oh, wait, no, you don't fill out a bracket. Never mind. Can't have that conversation with you. Heather, how'd your bracket do?
Okay, I think.
Yeah, okay, I think.
Well,
don't you have an app you can look it up on?
It's good. I mean, none of the teams that I took far got eliminated, so that's good. You know, Clemson.
For our show.
But everything else.
Now, did you see they had 13 points at halftime?
Which was the worst first half? Clemson or Georgia? We're talking about the disasters of college basketball.
Yeah, there are some ugly games.
Georgia was bad. I mean, but was that more of Gonzaga? Like, Gonzaga hasn't lost a first-round game in, 18 years?
Right, and now they're staring down a great matchup with Houston tomorrow night.
I know, that's going to be fun. Great.
Yeah, and we are due for some really good games, because yesterday was kind of a dud, right?
Yeah.
I mean, our big Cinderella story is your classic 12-5 upset.
The one position that you want to be in, though, is when you are sitting at the dinner table with those that you love, and you're watching McNeese State win, and then the most loved person in your life goes, you know what? It's probably not a big deal, because who would have picked McNeese State anyway? And in the back of your mind, you're going,
I did. That's a good feeling. Did you see, by the way?
And then you wait for them to look at the brackets, and then she has the epiphany. Oh, you're a jerk.
This guy did.
You could have just told me.
McNeese, did you see the boombox guy?
Oh, yeah.
He has an NIL deal, John. Several of them now.
So, can he have, is anybody regular students, do they call them NIL deals for regular students? They just call them jobs, right?
Well, his job is to be the team manager.
Right.
And he's got advertising deals with major A-level sponsors.
Yeah, but that was the argument, right? Is average students can have jobs make money off of the things that they do. And okay, so we'll call it an NIL deal. I'm not going to get caught up in that one. It's awesome. It's awesome. The fact that the team comes out rocking to whatever music he picks, it's perfect.
Drake and McNeese. Those are your two double-digit. Hey,
I picked Drake as well.
I know. Look at you, pat yourself on the back over there.
I got Arkansas, who was not an upset, but it was. They weren't favored,
right?
Arkansas beat seven-seeded Kansas.
Kansas. Yes.
But all in all, I mean, we didn't get a ton of buzzer beaters. We didn't get a big Cinderella story yet, which means we're due for it today. Which means today is going to be amazing, right? That's how it works. You can't go back-to-back days playing this many games and not have a couple of those moments.
Yeah. And, I mean, I thought we might be heading to one of those moments when McNeese was up, 10 with, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes left. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's a timeout. It's a foul. Clemson's inching their way back. And, you know, to lose by 2, it was a layup at the end because they really lost by 4. But the scoreboard says 69-67. That had the makings of a McNeese team that didn't know how to finish it out or just couldn't finish it out. And I thought we were We're itching towards Clemson with mere seconds left, launching a Hail Mary and hitting one at the buzzer to win it.
Well, that's the whole thing about closing a game out. They did close the game out.
They did,
not
yes.
effectively.
Not effectively, but they did effectively enough.
But here's the thing, like another close game thing. If it's a 5-point game with 2.5 minutes left and you go bucket stop, bucket stop, bucket stop, and all of a sudden becomes a 14-point game or a 12-point game, do you get credit for closing out a game like that?
Yeah,
like,
you get credit for making your free throws.
Exactly. But, like, you know, people look at that and say, well, they won the game by 14. Like, this kind of goes back to the Michigan conundrum.
Yeah.
Honestly, is about keeping games close, but they're able to finish those close games.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, if you're Michigan, you'll go ahead, scrutinize this as long as we're still in the tournament. I mean, it's
still dancing.
It's the way this works this time of year. 6:35, we'll talk about it, but how long does the dancing last if this is the way they're going to play? They're not all going to play UC San Diego's moving forward. Also, winner from yesterday, old school Italian coaches. We get Patino and Calipari. How about that for your second round?
Mr. Patino and Mr. Calipari, the Italian, oh, my paisans, they're going to go to the restaurant, they're going to eat the linguine, oh, it's awesome, baby. Oh.
That's amazing, I love it, you made my day. Absolutely made my day.
It's incredible. Greg Hargrave, everybody. All right, coming up next, there's some audio about the Tigers that we have to play. We played a little Bregman yesterday, salt in the wound. There's more audio, not from Bregman, but
the more salt in the wound.
More salt in the wound. It's 97.1. Brian Bush on the call. Big plays down the stretch. Trey Donaldson, a couple Vlad Golden offensive rebounds in Michigan. Wins another nail biter. They've won 13 games decided by 4 points or fewer, tied for an NCAA record. And the most important thing is, no matter how sloppy they played, season's not over.
Nope.
They'll play again. We'll talk more about them coming up at 6:35. Got some big takeaways from day one of the tournament. People loving Greg's Dick Vitale impression on the ticket text.
As they should. That was a gem that we found yesterday. Now, your impression, which I put you on the spot, I'm not going to hammer you for
it. I'm not going to defend it. It was bad.
Was not excellent. It was a good effort. All right. It was a good effort on the spot because that was one where I literally hit you live on air. You followed through. So thank you. What it led us to is the genius of Greg Hargrave.
Star is born.
As Dickie V. It's we kind of never know when it's going to emerge, but I am on the edge of my seat
at
any time in the next 3 hours and 40 minutes that it could emerge.
He's over here doing linguine, fettuccine, Italian coaches, paisans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he does an ESPN hit, you will hear that take today.
You're right.
I will guarantee that.
He'll be doing a Greg Hargrave impression of himself. A couple more ticket texters. This one says, Jim, you said it was likely Michigan was going to lose out 2 weeks ago. They've won four straight. You keep saying they're deeply flawed that they keep winning, though. Doug in A squared. Yeah, I think both things are true.
Doug in A squared.
Karshep early? Hey, Costa, get it right. Stop dogging our guys.
If I find out that it's him, that's amazing.
He strikes me as a guy who gets up early. There's no way Doug is awake at 6:20 in the morning after staying up late to watch that game, right?
More than likely you're correct,
but there is
a possibility.
He would also be texting you directly.
Yes. Yes. I believe that to be true as well. Like TJ, TJ is probably not going to text the show, but he was texting both of us last night
at halftime
during the Michigan game. And he kind of said similar things. Now let's see, I'm going to have to make sure to edit this. He texts me, if U of M wins by 10 or more, I will never forgive you unless you humiliate Costa tomorrow morning for being a huge cat all week.
So I'll tell you
insert whatever word you want for cat.
I was texting TJ, and he said, this is the team you said was a matchup nightmare. This team, shame on you. This is halftime.
No,
I will point out.
Halftime up by 14.
I will point out, the game was decided in the final possession. So TJ's flapping his gums well before the game was decided. But I owned it. I said,
that's what trash talk is.
But I texted him. I said, I fell forward hook, line, and sinker. I said, this is supposed to be the team that shoots threes, right? This is one of the better three-point shooting teams in America. They start 1-for-12. I said I felt like I got ripped off, led astray.
Why? Because you just underestimated Michigan's defense?
No, that's not the team I thought I was betting on.
What, Michigan or
UC San Diego?
Yeah, but my point is they're playing against, like, there are things that you can do to defend.
John.
Well, there's intimidation.
Okay. Vlad Golden scowled at him. I should have factored that into the scouting report. But I compared it to, I said this to TJ, I go, worst decision, betting this game or betting Hawk Tua coin? I felt like I bought a meme coin. Like, I was sold a bill of goods. They're supposed to be this, and I'm getting a high school performance.
Yeah, but you got exactly what you thought you'd get for Michigan.
Yeah.
It's what they were all season long. This is why when people say, oh, you know, you have a team, you fill out the bracket. I know you don't, but, you know, Michigan fans will have them going further than they really should. And I have them going just simply because I'm dying for the Michigan-Michigan State matchup. Do I think they actually get there? Probably not. This is not a team built to beat Auburn. It might not even be a team that's built to beat Texas A&M because Texas A&M, rebounds.
Texter says, I am the Doug in Ann Arbor, but not the Doug.
Oh, not the Doug. Yes, yes, yes. The Doug with minus the helmet.
Okay, we have some audio. And I first heard Jeff Rieger bring this up. I don't know if that's where you heard it.
No, I saw it in print form
yesterday
as I was watching games, thinking about things to talk about today. And I'm glad I didn't hear it. Because I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit when I read it. And so I'll let you take us through the audio of it.
So this is from Tigers Today. It's a Detroit news podcast. Al Avila was the guest and Javi Baez was the topic. Missed out on Correa, settled for Baez, but here's the cut that's got everybody all in their feelings.
Worked up.
Yep. So they knew there was regression. They knew there were holes in the swing. They gave him 6 years.
They knew the swing and miss was there, and they gave him. Not only did they give him 6 years, they gave him the opt out. No team options. They gave the player the option.
Yeah.
And here we sit. The regression has taken hold. The swing and miss is there, and I can only imagine what that would have been like if Scott Harris had been the president of baseball operations, because what is Scott Harris' value?
Own the zone.
And so maybe we wouldn't be in this. And maybe, if you take this a little bit further, maybe that has protected us from errantly signing a third baseman that you're just going to go out and sign because that's all that's left. So while we are sitting here struggling for a third baseman, we didn't get Bregman. We went through that drama yesterday and for the past, 4 months?
Yeah, really.
But if you miss out on Correa and then you settle for Baez, you miss out on Bregman, maybe we've dodged a bullet because we're not settling for and overpaying somebody or overcommitting to someone simply because, yes, we do need a third baseman. But he didn't make a bad decision. Didn't get a great one, but didn't make a bad decision.
248-539-9797. If you got reactions to Al Avila and saying, oh, yeah, no, we knew he wasn't going to be very good and we paid him anyway, you can let us know. A lot of negativity with the Tigers. We actually are going to try to put a more positive light into this baseball team at 7:02.
Still makes me cringe.
I know.
Just hearing it makes it worse.
Michigan Hoops talk at 6:35. How long does this last after watching last night? What's your forecast for the rest of the tournament? Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, after that frightening situation that took place at Corwell Health Beaumont in Troy yesterday, we're learning a little bit more about the gunman and the victim. So apparently the two were best friends who worked in the radiology department together. But according to police, they had a recent falling out. So they weren't friends anymore. Yeah. Well, definitely not after yesterday. We also know that the shooting occurred just after they both pulled into the parking structure at the hospital. So the victim pulled in first, followed shortly after by the suspect. That's when multiple shots were fired, striking the victim twice in the arm. And it is believed that right after firing the shots, that suspect left the hospital.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're learning it. What the guy, it sounds like, never even stepped foot into the hospital, right? But nobody knew that, right?
Right.
You get the reports that there's been shots fired and a gunman there.
Yeah.
You have to follow through. And they did. They had, we talked about yesterday how many officers and the FBI and SWAT teams were there at the hospital.
What is it that goes on that you go from best friends to popping five shots and hitting twice. That's going to be, you know, when more comes out, and who knows how long it takes for that to come out.
But. And then the suspect went to, it looks like it was his home. It could have been his parents' home, a sibling's, whatever. He was arrested there at a home in Macomb Township. And I watched the video of that. There was two people I saw in cuffs, so I don't know who the other one was, but he has been taken into custody. Let's talk about this, John. Former Michigan football coach Matt Weiss is accused of hacking into computers at more than 100 universities across the country, stealing the identities of more than 3,000 student-athletes, most of whom were women, which he was technically just spying on and taking all of their personal
photos. Creep and dirtbag.
When you really know what went on, it is disgusting. So he was indicted on more than two dozen federal charges on Thursday, according to the U.S. Attorney General's office. He pulled the scheme off over 8 years. So between 2015 and 2023, he was breaking into student athlete databases that were being maintained by a third party vendor. And he was able to download, you know, all this personal identifiable information, medical data of 150,000 athletes, primarily female. And he was able to access their social media, their emails, all of their cloud storage. Right. And he was taking and he was taking notes on what these women looked like and their sexual preferences and storing all of their private photos. And it
when you find out about individuals that you have sat next to, been in a room alone with, and interviewed, and then you find out that, like, did he leave his office and go do this? Was he coming from his office having done this? And I missed an opportunity to have a moment alone with him. And it just, it is absolutely disgusting. And then you take it a step further because, as I've talked about before, I've got a daughter who's going to be a student athlete at Michigan. Yep. And to think that she would have been vulnerable to a dirtbag like this.
It just proves you never really know anybody, right? I mean, you thought you knew this guy, or at least you thought you knew him well enough to know that he...
Yeah.
And then we knew he got fired several years ago, never really knew why, right? Yep. And now...
Well, we knew that there was an investigation.
Yes, we knew
the University Police and the FBI got involved.
Yeah. But we didn't know what they were investigating.
Nobody knew it. No. It was just... It's just disgusting.
Yep. Also disgusting, this creepy guy is accused of leaving a sexually explicit note on a minor's car in the parking lot of an Auburn Hills Target. So police were called to the scene when this young woman found a pretty disgusting note left on her vehicle. Police do confirm she was under the age of 18 years old. The note had a phone number on it. So guess what? Police were able to call this guy. And they say the conversation was also sexually explicit in nature.
So would they have a female officer call?
Well, in my head, that's how it happened.
Yeah.
But then the kicker is, this guy was still in the parking lot sitting in his car. So if he was watching her...
He saw her hand the note to the police?
Like, he's got to see that the police were called. Anyway, 38-year-old guy from Clarkston was arrested. He was charged with child sexually abusive activity, using a computer to commit a crime, and he also had some meth on him, so he was
What a real stand-up guy.
Yep.
Well, what do we know about criminals? They're dumb.
Yeah, in addition to being a creep, he's a moron.
Yeah, exactly. Finally, spring has sprung. And if you are, you know, preparing for all these new outdoor activities we can get involved in, here's what the good old Farmer's Almanac is predicting the weather will look like. So the old Farmer's Almanac, these are the predictions for April and May. They say spring will be warmer than usual.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that. Also, above normal rainfall. So... we'll have warmer temps.
So it's going to be warm, but wet.
Yeah, exactly. They predict an average temperature of 49.5 degrees in April, which is 2 degrees above average. So that's good. And if you don't like that, there's other predictions, right, that are all kind of different. There's also just the Farmer's Almanac, not the old one.
Oh.
They have a little different prediction. They say spring will take time to arrive. They say it will be cool and showery. So they're not predicting the warm. They're predicting the cool.
But still wet.
Then you also have the National Weather Service. They have predictions as well. Higher chance of more rain.
Okay.
Some snow through April, too, they say. Okay. So
it sounds like this is the equivalent of picking a bracket, though. Like, they're just throwing stuff out there at this point.
So what do you think spring will be like, Jim?
Well, I've done my research on it, and I think it's going to be wet. Yeah, and warm.
Yeah. April showers.
There you have it.
Yep.
Bring Mayflowers.
Yeah, it's great bathroom reading, though.
It's Heather with the news. Look, there's been this salt in the wound the last couple days and the Tiger injuries, and I think there's been a little bit of excitement that's been taken out of the start of baseball season. We are less than a week away. At 7:02, the case for this to be a breakout team. What are we missing? We'll get to that top of the hour. Coming up next, Michigan wins, but how long does this last? What's your read? It's 97.1. Survive in advance. Isn't that what this time of year is all about? You're not going to play your best. You just got to find a way to win. And that's the story of Michigan basketball this season. And it's the story of Michigan basketball late last night. If you're just getting up, a little groggy, we're all in the same boat. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Michigan basketball jumped out to a big lead. Made me wonder, this was the trendy team we're all supposed to bet? UC San Diego? I feel like I was led astray, sold a bill of goods.
I felt like more like you were just trying to find a way for Michigan to lose.
You think so?
Kind of felt like it.
You and now, I had the same read on Michigan at the end of the regular season, which was, oh boy, they got some things that are going to get them beat in the tournament. And one of them was turnovers. Yep. And they're playing a team that forces turnovers, a team that makes threes, a team that had won 15 straight, a 30-win team. And I feel like that's not the team that started that game, but Michigan built their big lead even with the turnovers and felt like they were going to win the game going away, only to sweat it down to the very end because they couldn't make free throws and couldn't execute for much of that second half. All while, by the way, the other team's best player fouls out. How did you take that game to mean that they're going to go on some kind of run here? Because I still feel like they're playing with fire.
That.
Oh, okay.
But did I say that?
No.
No.
But that's we're on the same page.
Oh, okay.
Then this team's
going
to get eliminated in the very next game, right?
No, well, you asked me that question like I had said that.
Okay. Well, seemed like you were fighting with me a little bit there. Are you looking for ways for Michigan to
like
lose,
to
too?
Fight with you.
Are you looking for ways for Michigan to lose, too, then?
I'm not looking for ways for them to lose, but their flaws are out there for everybody to see.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the turnovers or why it hasn't improved, but that is one that I think that's more of a challenge. The one that frustrates me the most... And I know I always make the joke with Ruby because, you know, she's a big and she plays inside. She gets fouled all the time. You're at the free throw line. They're free for a reason. Take them. Make them. That's where I think it is the most frustrating to watch teams get to the line 20 times and make 11. Like,
right.
This was an opportunity where they could have saved themselves and Michigan fans, those that picked Michigan, some angst, and just make your free throws. And I'm not asking for perfection. I'm just asking for, let's just say 8 out of 10.
As I say, yeah.
You know, let's go 80%. Let's not go, shoot the moon.
Even 75%. It's kind of, it feels like that's right around average.
Yeah, well, okay, so let's be just a little bit above average, right? 80%.
It'd go a long way.
Don't be 55%.
Yeah, that's rough.
And I think a lot of being a good free throw shooting team is having your good free throw shooters shoot free throws. Danny Wolf handles the ball a lot, shoots only 61% from the line.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point.
Sigh. It's just that's what's frustrating. And because you know at some point they haven't corrected what's wrong. And they can beat teams like a UC San Diego. They can step up and beat teams like a Wisconsin. But when you play against teams that are just much more consistent and look at the teams that they lost to twice to Michigan State,
yeah,
that is where you have your flaws. Now, the further you go in the tournament, you're going to be facing teams that are just a little bit better. And Texas A&M, do they play good defense?
Yes.
Yes. They are a pressure defense team. What does a pressure defense team force? Turnovers. Well, Michigan plays into that. And a pressure defense also fouls. So if you're going to get fouls,
make them.
Make them. And that's where Michigan really struggles. So it's, and I'm not sitting here saying, you know, they win or they lose to Texas A&M, because some of it's going to be about matchups and it's going to be about guys that might be able to step up in a game to get you more than they've given you in the past.
Do you, by the way, I just checked. The spread for Michigan, Texas A&M, do you have any idea?
1.5, 2.5.
1.5.
Okay.
Again, it's supposed to be another one of these nail biters. A&M favored by 1.5 in this matchup.
Look, what was the final spread, UC San Diego?
2.5, and it's a 3-point game.
How many times have we heard that story?
Yeah, I know. But I think we need to have an honest conversation. We can both give Michigan credit for last night, which I'm more than willing to do, despite
you do
the
credit
hater,
for winning, yes.
The hater allegations. I'm more than willing to give him credit. Donaldson hit a big time three when things were going south. He misses that shot. I think they lose the game. Vlad Golden with offensive rebounds, two of them in the final minute of that game. Mm-hmm. Again, helps to be a 7-footer. That's one of Michigan's edges. They need to lean into the fact they got 2 7-footers, and it mattered most at the end of the game that Vlad Golden was in there with 4 fouls. Battling for the ball and winning those battles. I'll give Michigan credit for winning the Big Ten tournament. I'll give Michigan credit for winning the majority of these games. All of these close games, Michigan wins. I'll give them the credit for it. But then we have to forecast what's coming. And I think it's dishonest to say anything, but they're playing with fire and it's going to get them burned.
Yes, it will eventually.
And I think sooner rather than later. So to make every Michigan fan happy, I think they're losing the next game.
It's what we would expect from
right. Do you agree with me? Because I think you agree with me.
I think they can lose the next game.
But you don't want to get excommunicated, so you won't say
no,
it.
No. Here's the weird thing about Michigan is, even though they are maddening and they're frustrating, do I think Texas A&M is on par with the Michigan State? No. I have Michigan State going to the Final Four. And so do I think Texas A&M is on par with Auburn? No. I think Texas A&M, while they are a team that is... they do some good things. They're also not a team that you're going to look at and say, well, this is a world beater. It's a team that Michigan can compete with, even though there's flaws on both sides, and it's going to be who can take advantage of the other team's flaws. And that's where I look at what Dusty May has been able to do.
Fair.
Dusty May has been able to manufacture some of these wins. I'm not going to sit there and say he's the AJ Hinch of college basketball because of, you know, roster chaos and lineup chaos, but he has been able to put them in position to at least run a play.
Yeah.
When there's 7 seconds left, what do you do when you're down by, you know, or you're tied? Hey, well, we're going to give the ball to Trey Donaldson. He's going to run down the floor and score. Like there are different things that he has done to coach them into position. He has also been a coach that has coached an FAU team.
All the way to the Final Four.
All the way to the Final Four. I don't think this is going to be one of those situations. No. But I'm not going to sit there and say it ends tomorrow. Could it? Yes.
I think he's a good coach. I don't want that to get lost in any of this. I think Dusty May is a good coach. I think there are some things his team does that are would be concerning. If you were a well-coached team, you shouldn't be missing free throws. You shouldn't be turning the ball over like this. It shouldn't be happening 30-plus games into the season. But by and large, I do think Dusty May is a good coach. Texas A&M, they're only a point and a half favorite. It's not like they have...
Yeah, it's a pick 'em.
Yeah, they have their flaws too. They're a terrible three-point shooting team. Their offense is not very good. They're going to run into some lulls. And in the tournament, a 5-minute, 6-minute stretch can get you killed.
Well, here's my concern, is that this... Michigan versus Texas, because Michigan has kind of those tendencies as well, where the faucet turns off for 4 or 5 minutes. We might be watching a game that it might be kind of like Michigan, Nebraska, where it's like, please just make this pain stop. Please, can somebody just make this game end? Because it's painful to watch missed shot, turnover, missed shot, defense. Like, and you can't necessarily credit it to great defense. It's just two bad offenses.
248-539-9797. You guys tell us what you took out of that game. It is an exhale moment for Michigan basketball, who continues to win these close games. 11 straight games decided by 4 or less, the Wolverines have won. That's this time of year. But in the back of your head, are you looking at this going, boy, it'll be over before you know it, because they just can't keep doing this. You just can't make a living like this in college basketball. It's 97-1.
Hey, we talk about the Farmer's Almanac and predicting the weather. One thing that... we might not be able to predict accurately the weather. One thing we can predict is that your grass will eventually grow. It will eventually green up. And along with that comes crabgrass, comes weeds. And so you want to make sure you take care of that now. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service is the company. And you can call them at 888-GET-GREEN. You can find more information on the web at naturalwaylawn.com that will give you the best lawn on your street. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service, you can get green, stay green, save some green when you prepay. If you call by the end of the month, and it's creeping ever so closely to us, you're going to get the early bird discount. You can also purchase a full lawn program and get free grub control. But you got to mention my name along with 97.1 The Ticket, and you're also going to get the Natural Way difference. Fewer chemicals, environmentally sound practices. Your lawn is going to be assigned its own specialist. They're going to custom tailor a solution specifically for your yard and your home. And then they're going to send out certified applicators and arborists to perform said plan. Locally owned and operated for over 35 years. They're going to give you 100% satisfaction guarantee. 888-GET-GREEN on the phone, on the web, naturalwaylawn.com. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. Get green. Stay green with Natural Way.
It's a Friday. Good morning. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We've got Greg behind the glass, Chris Villar on the updates. And we have a cookie jar coming up at 7:35. 7:02, are the Tigers actually a breakout team? A lot of the talk has been about how this is not going to be a repeat performance and some concerns that we have, but maybe we're missing something. Case for them to be a breakout team, we'll get to it top of the hour. Michigan just keeps winning. And we've asked you guys a question, like, is this sustainable? Is this going to keep happening? How far do you expect them to go after watching them win another one of these close games? Because there could be a case from a Michigan fan that says, this is what March is all about. That you're going to find yourself in some games or you don't play well. And they've won four in a row now. Big Ten tourney, NCAA tourney. Texas A&M is going to be a coin flip, 1.5 spread. Do you trust Michigan to find a way, even with their mistakes, to win yet another game? But where does it catch up to them? Because I think everybody has to concede at some point, you can't win shooting 55% from the free throw line. You can't win turning the ball over the way they do.
Twice as much as your opponent.
It's not going to work. And A&M, I think, will be the team that gets them. But I thought it was going to be UC San Diego, and I was sold a bill of goods. They weren't some upset special.
You keep hoping. and so, what is it possible? Sure. It's a pick-em game. And in fact, the Aggies are 1.5 favorites.
Yep.
The entire goal is to just simply win by one.
Yep.
They've done that so many times throughout the course of this season. And we talk about they can't make free throws. And the turnovers. The other part of how you give up big leads, like they go on runs where, yeah, okay, you get 2 7-footers, they make a couple of baskets, you make a couple big threes, all of a sudden you're up 12. Part of the reason that they give up those big leads isn't just the turnovers and easy baskets. It's not just missing free throws and the inability to increase or at least sustain that lead. Defensively, they're just not a great defensive team either.
No.
And so, yes, they have their flaws. They also have the ability to win some of those close games, which they've shown. So I think this is one where they could beat Texas A&M. I think they do.
Okay.
But they end up playing Auburn, and we find out why. Even though Auburn's lost three of the last five,
yeah,
because they won yesterday. We find out why they're the number one overall seed. And all of those flaws are accentuated. They're highlighted because you're playing a team that can capitalize and make you pay. It's what happened against Michigan State. They made them pay for all those flaws. And now, and I don't know that Texas A&M is a team that can make you pay for all those flaws.
So Texas A&M does not shoot the three well at all. They're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in this tournament.
Is it reverse psychology? They played a team that could shoot threes. They don't. They play a team that can't shoot threes.
And they will.
And they do.
I don't think UC San Diego was going to win a game against Michigan where they didn't shoot at least their season average, right? Like, you're playing a bigger, more athletic. I think that was evident too, by the way. Michigan, yeah, when they wanted it off the dribble, I mean, Trey Donaldson, among all the Michigan guards, could get it if they wanted it off the dribble. The only way they were going to stay in the game is if they made threes, and they didn't. They started 1 of 12. Texas A&M is built in a way where if they don't knock down threes, they can still win the game. Because Wade Taylor is one of these guards who can match up athletically and create his own shot. And when they miss, and they miss a lot, they clean up their misses and score on putbacks and second chance. And that's a really frustrating team to play against, because just when you think you got your stop,
yeah,
they get two, or they get to the foul line and get another couple points.
It's like it was kind of a mirror image of playing against Illinois.
Yes.
When they lost, Illinois couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in the first half. Then all of a sudden, second half, they start making their shots, and then they walk away with the game.
Yeah. Michigan fans on the ticket text, 248-539-9797. Please, 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 U of M hater Costa, keep saying they're no good and predicting them to lose. Sorry, they beat yours and everybody's Cinderella.
Uh-huh, yes. Well, but if you had filled out a bracket, that would have been your bracket buster. Although probably not, because I don't think you had UC San Diego.
No. Yeah. They're a weird situation. True story. We talked about him yesterday, and I highlighted their leading scorer, the 6'6", Aniwa Tate Jones.
Yeah.
I wanted to know how to say this guy's name, so I went and tried to find a YouTube video of this team playing basketball. And John, the first video I found, they show a graphic, and it was the wrong team listed. Like, this is a low-budget broadcast. And you realize this team hasn't played any national TV games. They haven't played any games on TV, period. This team was a large unknown, and I got caught up in the buzz of 30 wins, 3-D, upset profile, matchup nightmare, and I totally whiffed on that one. I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. They're not as good as I was and a lot of people led to believe going into this tournament.
Well, I will eventually allow you a pass on this because
3 hours from now
you're young.
Oh, don't tip
it's
me with
the
that.
Experience. And I mean, when I was a mite of your age, I probably made some bold proclamation on things that I had heard from other people, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna bite on that one. I'm gonna go ahead and take that as my own. And I'll pick this UC San Diego team to be a world beater.
To be clear, I'm not copying everybody's homework to do this show. But I think that's what March is, right? We're all playing catch up when the bracket comes out. We're going, who's High Point? Well, they lost.
Yeah.
Who's McNeese? They won. But we're all trying to learn on the fly. Why does this guy have a boombox when they walk out to the court? We're all doing little snapshots and scrambling. I'm going, boy, on paper, and I stress on paper, that looked like a tough spot for Michigan, and it ended up being a 3-point game at the end.
A lot of people had picked UC San Diego.
Yeah.
And I picked McNeese. Like, it's a 12-5. Like, there was no reason other than I needed a 12-5 to win so that it would say, okay, well, we already had our 1-12-5. We're not going to have it later. Like, that's basically why I picked that game.
Yeah.
There's no science behind it. It's like, if anybody asked me, well, why did you pick McNeese State? I don't know. I just kind of thought, yeah, I'll take this one as an upset. Like, that's, and so yeah, I'm
March.
I know that we dug a little bit more into UC San Diego because they were playing one of our local teams.
Yeah.
But that's the tournament, right? You pick one and you ride it. And sometimes you're right. Sometimes you're wrong.
Texter says, up until about halfway through the Michigan Big Ten schedule, their losses were by a combined 7 points. They always seem to stay in it no matter how many turnovers they have. We have to stop dwelling on it and just accept that they're a good team despite the turnovers. You agree with that, Ticket Texter?
Well, what's the frustrating part is, okay, yeah, they can be. That could be true. They could be so much better if they didn't turn it over.
Texter says, I like to think they've gotten hot at the right time, but they have too many deficiencies with the way they play. At best, they'll get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel as well. I would be excited for them to get to the Elite Eight because I think the team that will be there is Michigan State.
We talked about it a little yesterday. If you're a Michigan fan, you want a chance to knock out your rival and go to the Final Four. And if you're State, you'd love a chance to beat them 3 straight times. You feel like you own them. It'd be awesome. The only thing really standing in the way now is 2 wins for Michigan, and if Spartans can get it done, they'll play tonight against Bryant, and away we go. Texter says, I hate this Michigan team. I don't get how they continue to win games like this. However, they keep doing it over and over, so why can't they at this point?
Yeah. I mean, they find ways to overcome their deficiencies.
Okay, look, I read that as a Michigan fan saying that.
Yes, I did too.
And I mean, you want to talk about hated Michigan teams, go back to 2 years ago.
Right. Texter says, what do you mean UC San Diego wasn't as good as they were forecasted? They were up 1 with a minute left. That's pretty damn good. I just mean the start for that game. I mean, they still shot like, what, 20? What did they shoot for the game? 23% from 3? That's not who I was forecasted picking. If you told me I got this smaller team from the Big West that shoots the 3 and they shoot 22%, like, that's not the team I thought they were going
to
be.
Greg, that 2 years ago is when they went to the NIT. And they lost in very Michigan fashion of
Vanderbilt.
That season. Yes. That was a team we could certainly nitpick.
That was the last team with Hunter Dickinson. That was the say more, do less team, the ski mask team.
Hunter Dickinson still playing college basketball.
Well, not anymore.
No.
You promise?
Yes. No guarantees. I don't know if
there was
any.
A tweet from the NCAA March Madness account yesterday that it said, thank you, Hunter Dickinson. And I said, For what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a decade's worth of college basketball.
Make sure he doesn't have like a waiver or some kind of exception or bonus year.
COVID year? I don't know.
He's been playing this whole time. All right, coming up next, breakout teams in Major League Baseball and the Tigers listed near the top of the list. That's not the way we've been talking about this team. So what have we been missing? It's next, 97.1.